AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt, Eric, keeping you up to date here. The Indians are losing to the Boston Red Sox 5-1. That is in the middle of the eighth inning. The Twins are currently beating the Milwaukee Brewers 5-2. That is in the middle of the fifth inning. And if that holds true, if the Twins do win that game and the Indians do lose that game, then the Twins will be a game and a half up in the American League Central after today, which is a good thing. I'm hoping the fact that the Twins, after Monday night, were actually out of first place made them realize, if we don't do this now, we're not going to win this.
Yeah.
And so,
seems like they got a little comfortable there.
And in reality is I mean, people like, oh, the Indians have been on a nice run. Cleveland's been on a nice run. But I think it's not the Atlanta Braves of freaking 95 or whatever it was, whatever year it was, where every pitcher they had was unhittable. You know, it's not that. I mean, they played a pretty weak part of their schedule, and the reality is the Twins have, because of Buxton and Cruz being injured, because our pitchers haven't been as productive as they've been, and because of a few quiet games, they're not there. So, anyway, just keep you up to date on that. Because we could be playing, I would highly doubt we're not going to be playing baseball in October at this point. We're going to be playing some baseball in October. How much depends on this team. But if they can't figure out how to beat better teams, and Milwaukee's a good team. They're beating Milwaukee in Milwaukee. If they take both of these games from this two-game series, that's a good team. That's a good win. But, yeah. I am not a sports talk host. 952-946-6205. There is an interesting trend that I've seen because of the other news that's happened today that I've kind of been paying attention to. That slide whistle sound effect you hear is coming from the East Coast. That's Wall Street, where it's $801 or 801 points down, 3% down for the day on the markets. A pretty substantial drop. And the reason why, if you don't know, is the bond market. The return on the 10-year bond dipped below the return on the 2-year bond, which is a really bad sign, which basically means the bond market is saying that it's a better investment to invest in the next 2 years than it is in the next 10 years. And that's a bad sign. It is a distinct number that has, it's been a number which has been a canary in the coal mine, per se, and it shows you that a recession is coming. And almost every time this happens, a recession follows, generally within a year to 2 years afterwards, there's an economic downturn. This happened in 2006, I believe it was, and trust me, when I say this, The W. Bush administration was doing everything in their power to hold that house of stilts up on that economy so they could pass it off to Barack Obama and say, see, we gave him a perfectly working economy. And when it collapsed, I want to remind everyone, Bush's Treasury Department was coming to the Congress and saying, we need this much money. We need trillions of dollars. You can't ask where it goes and you can't ask what it's doing. You just got to give us the money because they had no plan to deal with this. Once again, it was just exactly like the Iraq War. They had no plan after they occupied the place to what to do with the thing. They were just trying to get it. In case, and they never once thought, what happens if things collapse before we get it to Obama or the next president? Because, I mean, it really was McCain at that point was done because of that economy. I mean, it was closer at that point, but it was, you know, after the August of 2008, you know, McCain had no chance. And so you have to kind of look at, you know, at this number on the bond market is a real signal that the economy is not healthy. And there has been a ton of things we've talked about that the economy is not healthy. We have the deficit skyrocketing. Once again, where are all those Republicans that were screaming about Obama's biggest problem is the deficit? I'm not racist. I'm just against deficits. You notice how they don't say a damn thing now. Oh, deficits are great now. And not only that, but it's not the tax breaks are not paying back the economy. The economy is actually, you know, grossly outspending the money that's being made off of any of these tax breaks. Because the reason why is when we gave those wealthy people tax breaks, what we were really paying for was that wealthy guy's great, 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 great grandson to drink Cristal on the beach with models in 50 years. That's why that's 60 years. That's what we paid for. We didn't pay for any investment. We paid for them to make sure that they will live for the next 500 years in absolute luxury while the rest of us have to pay for these tax cuts. That's all that happened. The ag markets just annihilated. And that is going to start coming back. And right now it doesn't look as bad because we're not at the end of the year. But I guarantee you auctioneers and across the country are going to be booked solid for the next, you know, long time. That because these farms are going to be up for sale because there's not going to be any money in them. The trade policy is a nightmare. The stock market makes no sense. It clearly looks like it's being elevated by false properties. I mean, to a point, I get the guys that are buying back their own stock, but you should not be having when the fourth largest, you know, importer of our ag products cancels every contract they have. Well, you shouldn't be having the stock market go up 300 points that day. That just should not be happening. So there's a lot of things going on, but I'm going to tell you one thing. This is a surefire way that I know things are going bad. It's the marketing of certain products. About 2 weeks ago, I noticed there was an ad for some sort of resort. And the tagline was, "Are you winning vacation?" And the implication was, your simple vacation to your lake cabin ain't enough because the Joneses down the street, they went to this resort and they won, man. Woo! Won their vacation. And I was like, oh my God, don't tell me we're at this point again. Since that time, I have seen more marketing come up in the last 2 weeks where it's like, if you're not spending money, you're a loser. You're losing. I saw a sign today. I was over at the Mall of America, and in one of the jewelry stores, there was a sign saying, it's not hoarding if it's jewelry. Oh, that's good. God. It's not hoarding if it's jewelry. Oh, no. Well, no, it's still hoarding. It's called bankruptcy when it's jewelry. I mean, that's kind of the key. That's a different term. It's more financial ruin.
These aren't ingots. These are necklaces.
Exactly. But this is, and what you've got is you have America right now. The product we produce are consumers. And one of the big problems we had is that we have high employment and we actually have salaries going up, but people aren't spending money because they have such high debt loads in this country that they can't, you know, they basically are paying off their debt loads. And so we don't have the spending. So this is a frantic attempt by corporate America to get you to buy, buy, buy. It's not enough. Your TV sucks. You need a better TV. That sort of thing. And it truly is. That's all it is. It is a keeping up with the Joneses crap. And that tells me, that right there tells me completely what is going on in America right now. This frantic attempt to get every dime out of Americans at all possible before the economic ruin happens. It's scary. It's scary stuff. And I mean, we are headed for a major economic collapse. Trump today is like blaming the Fed. It's all the Fed. No, it's you idiot. You're the idiot. And I've even seen conservatives out there saying all these news reports are lies. The stock market isn't really down stuff. That is where these people are at. That they cannot possibly filter bad news about Trump. So they basically just insist that this is the greatest conspiracy of all time, that the economy is the greatest, but just the media is making it look bad. Really? Wow. Tell you what, then, why don't you take every dime you've got and go bank on, I don't know, Chinese stocks. Why don't you? If you don't think any kind of company that does a lot of business with China, why don't you just go bank everything you own on that and tell me if things are real or fake? 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I do want to make sure I bring this up again, too. Guys, I got Stein, by the way. Stein comes up here at 3:30 this afternoon. Yesterday, I mentioned that the Senator Michelle Benson, who is in charge of the Health and Human Services Committee in the Senate, she has gone back to St. Paul. And the reason why is purely politics. She wants to try to make hay with this Department of Human Services. They don't have anything right now. The Republicans, they are tied to 16 anchors and getting dragged to the bottom as fast as possible. They've got Trump. They've got bad ag numbers. They desperately need to be able to convert something into hay. And so they're going after the Department of Human Services. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the Department of Human Services has been well run by any capacity, but it sure isn't. We have to get to St. Paul and have immediate meetings, find out what's going on. And if anything happened here, I mean, they invited a bunch of people. And Senator Jim Abler, and Abler, by the way, in Anoka, he's getting out there in front because he's trying to make it look like he's, you know, he's one of these suburban senators that is desperately trying to find something that he can see, keep me there, don't vote me out. So they invited all these people to come and testify, and the only one that showed up was Department of Health and Services Commissioner, the temporary acting commissioner, Pam Wheelock, showed up. And the rest of the time, they were like, why can't we get answers? I don't know, idiot. Why don't you basically not turn this into a political fight and actually look for answers as opposed to trying to get cameras in there to make it look like you're doing something? But the main reason I want to bring this up is because as they do this dog and freaking pony show, Michelle Benson could be bringing up emergency insulin. She could be making, and as a matter of fact, I want to encourage anyone, if you see another one of these Senate Health and Human Services meetings, you know, ask her, where's the emergency insulin bill? Why is this your biggest priority? You have people who are dying, for God's sakes. Human beings are dying, and you guys are playing politics with this. Where's the insulin? And there's the chant, where's the insulin? Because these people, the Health and Human Services Committee could be there for insulin, could be for gun violence, for God's sakes. How about that Health and Human Services problem? You know, Senator Benson, thoughts and prayers. Yeah, I know you know that, because that's all you guys got. And we had very good beginnings of common sense gun regulations, which you guys refused in the Senate to even discuss. But here we are. Three more massacres in America. Thanks, Republicans. Yeah, it is. Yeah, you guys are enabling this crap. So yeah, it is you guys. And instead of doing something about gun violence, nope. Where's the common sense gun control bills? Where are they? Instead, Michelle Benson is here. If you want the epitome of broken government, these people, let's just take the Emergency Insulin Act. Once again, people are dying. We already know of at least one person who could not afford his insulin, was working two jobs, and because the big pharma companies are charging way too much money for this life-saving drug, he died because he was rationing his insulin. You guys had the Emergency Insulin Act on your table and you knocked it down. You said saving poor people, heck, not even saving poor people, saving people that are working their butts off to try to afford insulin is not worth your time. But yet here we are with the dog and pony show. Too bad the dogs and ponies aren't big corporate donors and, the dogs and ponies are pretty big corporate donors and that's all they're basically looking for is some kind of deflection technique. God forbid they're actually human beings that can be saved by you. You, Senator Benson, you could save these people. You could do it. You know those Christian values you keep saying you have? Yeah, that's right, you. You could champion this bill. You could say, you know what? We need to have the Emergency Insulin Act passed. I'm not going to do any more hearings. I'm not going to do anything until we get this passed and put the pressure on Gazelka to get this done. Instead, no. I'm sorry. If you're going to sit there, the same people that championed Rob Undersander, the guy that basically the weight part guy, the wealthy millionaire who stole government food assistance from the state, if you're going to champion that guy, but then all of a sudden say you're outraged by someone cheating the government, I'm sorry. I have zero patience for you. I have zero time for you. And, you know, with all due respect to you, Senator, Well, heck, no, I'm not going to show you any respect because you don't deserve the respect. Do your damn job. Do your job. You fake Christian, get out there, Senator Benson, and call the Emergency Insulin Act and demand that we get a special session and get that thing passed. Instead of this, why can't I get answers? Senate office building. Senator, where's your office? Is it in the Senate office building? I remember you guys basically saying you were never going to move in there. How's that fortitude working for you? Come on, get off your asses. Stop with the dog and pony show and pass the Emergency Insulin Act. And if you see her, say, where's the insulin, Senator? Where's the insulin? 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. An even more disturbing story coming up here in just a second. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Better Futures Minnesota is a social enterprise which helps men achieve self-sufficiency and a better future for themselves and their communities. We need your help. By donating time or funds to our cause, you can support us and promote a healthier environment. By hiring our deconstruction crews for your next residential or commercial project and shopping or donating building materials or appliances to our reuse retail warehouse, you are supporting Better Futures Minnesota and your community. Please visit betterfuturesminnesota.com to learn more.
You're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the most informative source for progressive politics and news in the Twin Cities. Get involved online at am950radio.com, where you can sign up for our weekly newsletter, check out the local businesses that help make this content available, and stay up to date on the latest news and upcoming events. You can always reach us by email at comment@am950radio.com. That's comment@am950radio.com. Thanks for listening.
My favorite meal of the day is breakfast, and for morning vittles, I head to Milton's, 36 and Douglas in Crystal. My favorite is either the rib scrambler, scrambled eggs with ribs, portobello mushrooms, jalapenos, and pepper jack cheese, or the steak and eggs. My wife loves the pepper jack creamy grits and the stuffed avocados with poached eggs cradled in avocado halves. The kids love the French toast or the stuffed French toast filled with fruit and cream cheese. Top it off with coffee done my way from the Milton's Coffee Bar, and I'm ready for the day. Breakfast is waiting for you at Milton's, 36 and Douglas in Crystal.
So, you're finally coming to grips that it's time to replace your carpet. Or maybe you want to update the look of your favorite room. Lucky for you, there's Z Floors by Zero Res. It's my trusted one-stop shop for all my flooring needs. So when nothing but new will do, check out the new Zero Res flooring experience at z-floors.com.
Also right now is the Zero Res end of summer sale where you can get 3 rooms of carpet clean starting at only $129. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit zeroresminnesota.com.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, reading the troubled past.
I'll say it's troubled, all those xenophobic, misogynistic, racist books.
So you think we should just stop reading everything in the Western canon?
Well, you think we should keep reading the Western canon?
Well, yeah, you know, those books still have things to teach us and questions to ask us and conversations to make us part of.
Conversations about straight white males.
Reading the troubled past, next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205. The Minnesota Supreme Court overturned a drug possession conviction of a Minneapolis man Wednesday after concluding the forced body cavity search violated his constitutional rights to dignity, personal privacy, and bodily integrity. Really? You came to that conclusion? The scary part is this was not unanimous. I'll get to that in a second. The search for Guntawal Brown's rectum while he was strapped down and sedated is a violation of the Fourth Amendment, the court ruled in a 21-page opinion written by Justice Paul Thiessen, signed by 4 colleagues. Justice Anne McKeague dissented, saying the search was reasonable. They strapped him down, drugged him, and then searched his nether regions. That's a reasonable search. Not his basement of his house. No, his basement. Wow. Hennepin County District Court convicted Brown in early 2017 of fifth-degree drug possession. He was sentenced to 90 days at home confinement, ordered to take a drug test. Before trial, his lawyer unsuccessfully sought to suppress the grams of cocaine found in a plastic bag In his body, the defendant appealed that decision. The Court of Appeals concluded the search was reasonable. What? But the state Supreme Court disagreed and ruled the evidence of the illegal search should be inadmissible at the trial. A high court ordered that Brown be given a new trial, although the new now seems unlikely because the drugs are the main evidence against him. The state high court analysis used a U.S. Supreme Court balancing test from 1985 in their ruling. The facts of the case weren't in dispute, according to the court ruling. In August 2015, Minneapolis police used a confidential informant to buy crack cocaine from Brown. Later that night, police later observed Brown making a sale with another buy and arrested him. During the arrest, an officer saw Brown shoving his hands down his pants, possibly concealing something. Officers later saw Brown grinding into his chair if he was shoving something upward between his legs. While conducting a strip search, the officer saw a clear plastic bag protruding from Brown's rectum and believed it was something else. Not that high-fiber diet that you were thinking of. The officer obtained a search warrant to conduct a body cavity search and took Brown to North Memorial Medical Center in Robbinsdale. Brown refused to remove the plastic bag himself, so officers gave a warrant to Dr. Christopher Palmer, an emergency room doctor, and asked him to force Brown to take a laxative. Now, whoa. You're forcing a private citizen, this doctor, to do your dirty work? Come on. I'm sorry you guys are uncomfortable with the warrant that you say was justified, but that one fact alone, the fact that you weren't comfortable doing the search yourself, and that you tried to get some doctor to do it, would lead me to believe this was a little bit obtuse of a request, for God's sakes. The officer obtained a search warrant. After consulting a hospital lawyer, Palmer refused to conduct anything other than an external body search of Brown's body because he didn't believe the warrant allowed him to do so. Palmer also saw no bag protruding from his body. Police went back to the same judge and got a second search warrant that authorized hospital staff to use any physical and medical needs necessary to have Brown remove narcotics from his body. Okay, so now you're forcing the doctor to become a police officer. God, this is when people talk about, and hey, I'm not saying that this guy, you know, wasn't wrong, but when you're talking about, you know, dude, just seriously, if this was that bad, then do the damn thing yourself, all right? And then and just know the consequences. If you hurt the man, then you're guilty of hurting him. Police took Brown to Hennepin County Medical Center, where he was asked to remove drugs himself and refused. Emergency room physician Dr. Paul Nystrom, after consulting. So they shipped him to a different hospital. That doctor over there is not going to do our dirty work for us. Let's go to HCMC. They'll do our dirty work for us. After consulting with a county prosecutor, gave Brown four options. They were remove the bag himself, be given an enema, undergo a procedure under sedation, or be given a laxative through a nasal tube while under sedation and on a ventilator. Wow. Brown refused to speak, so he was strapped down, placed in an intravenous sedative. Nystrom inserted the speculum into the body cavity, retrieved the plastic bag with forceps. Two officers were on the room during the procedure and later determined the bag contained crack. Okay, start your jokes there. In deciding for Brown, the Supreme Court emphasized that Brown was alert and capable of consent, but instead was strapped to a table and sedated while doctors conducted the procedure. He didn't want his body cavity searched. You can't do that. Regardless, further diminishing the state's need to force the procedure was the extensive, more practical, non-invasive option, retrieving the bag through natural elimination, the court said. But you were in a hurry. Heaven forbid you put the guy in a bathroom and then start playing nature videos of waterfalls and stuff. Maybe going and getting him some high-fiber food. Hey, look at this. Joining Thiessen were Chief Justice Lori Gildea, the Justices Barry Anderson, Margaret Chudich, and David Littlehawk. The 11-page dissent, McKeague, called the search, basically okayed the search, saying Brown was provided less invasive alternatives. So wait a minute here. We can torture you. We can torture you. Or you can do it yourself. Well, I don't want to do it myself. Well, then you forced us to torture you. Wow. And by the way, McKeague, Justice McKeague, with all due respect to you, Let me ask you something. Let's say you're going down the street and someone says, hey, I just saw her with drugs and I think she put them up in her body cavity. And the police pull you over and say, hey, that person says you had drugs. It's a priest. And they said they thought they can swear they had drugs and they thought that you put it up into your body cavity. And you say, oh, that's ludicrous. Well, would you go over the search? And you say, no, I don't have any drugs in me. I'm not going to get searched. And they say, no, we know the drugs are in there. We're going to go get a court order and search you. And you say, no, okay, fine. I'm not going to answer any more questions. And they go to the judge, and then they take you to one hospital. And that hospital's like, are you kidding me? No, I'm not doing your dirty work for you. So then they go back to another judge, and they get another warrant. And then you shop to a different hospital. And then you put the guy on the table. And you basically, they put you on the table, Justice. And they say, your options are this, 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 and this. And they sedate you, and you put you under, and there's nothing there. I'm sure the first word out of your mouth was, hey, they gave me less intrusive options, so I guess I'm okay. I guess it's all okay.
It made sense. It was reasonable.
I mean, my goodness. My God, you would be going ballistic if they violated you in such a manner. My God, Justice. Is this really the America we're in right now? Is this really the America we're in? Dear God. Hey, sedate them, shop them around to a hospital, strap them down to a table, grab the old forceps and go up there. I'm sure the officers weren't cracking as many jokes as they possibly could the entire time, too. Wow. Well, your case is gone. Good luck. And I would like to know that Dr. Proby, Officer Proby and Officer Probat, that those two knuckleheads are not on the police force anymore. Please tell me those two officers are not on the police force. That this is really what this is their way to solve a crime, for God's sakes. Brad is in Robbinsdale. Let's get Brad in here really quick if we can. Brad, welcome on in. Thanks for holding.
Okay, well, a small world. I was in Providence in 76 to see the tall ships. But anyway, I have a question for Stein. I wish he would give us an update on all the corn polling that I hear at the Iowa State Fair.
Well, I'll tell you what. We've got Stein. Brad, thank you very much. I appreciate your phone call. Speaking of the devil, is that Stein on the phone? We got Stein there?
It is.
All right. Tell you what. Let's take this break. Let's take a break. Come on back. Jeff Stein from Iowa talking national presidential politics. When we do return, it is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Legal issues, never fun, and they're certainly stressful. While it's tempting just to Google your legal situation, there is a better way. The Hennepin County Bar Association. Their referral counselors can answer many of your questions, like, do you even need an attorney? And if you do, what type? They can connect you to a network of over 200 thoroughly vetted, qualified attorneys practicing in over 50 areas of law. Call 612-752-6666 or search for Hennepin County Bar Association. The right call for the right lawyer.
Chances are, after spring cleaning, you missed a spot. A couple really big spots, like your roof and siding. Run your fingers across your siding. You'll likely get a gross residue. And
Jeff, can you hear me there?
I can hear you. I can hear Matt.
All right, beautiful. There you go. We will be chatting with you momentarily, sir, okay?
Steve King.
Oh, we're going to get to Steve. We're going to get to Steve. We'll start with the Iowa State Fair and just the feeling from the politics there. I also think we should talk about – I love how Trump says and the administration says a president, when they got upset last week about Obama, you know, saying we need to be civil in this country, and they took it as going after Trump. But yeah, here's Trump calling Trump – Clinton murdered Epstein. Jesus Christ.
At least he didn't use hashtag fostered.
Oh, wow. Really? Really? Wow.
I'm saying at least he didn't do that.
Well, there's someone trying to get a hashtag going. All right. Hey, we'll talk to you in a quick. What?
Let me tell you real quick. I'm doing TV today. Female host. She says, why aren't you at the Iowa State Fair? I say, I'm busy. We finish the segment. She gets done and I say, well, have a good day at the fair. She says, I'll grab a corn dog till you get here.
Okay.
That didn't have multiple meanings. Right.
Wow. Alert to Michelle Bachman. All right. Okay, never mind.
I appreciate it. So we'll
talk in a sec, okay?
Estate planning, probate, and elder law. My clients receive the attention and compassion they deserve with their peace of mind being my top priority. Enjoy the comfort of knowing that you have planned for the worst so you can confidently continue living at your best. Visit ShromanLaw.com. That's ShromanLaw.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert, noted author. You can find his books at Next Chapter Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com as well. iowawatch.org is the public service show he's part of, and he's joining us from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. And Jeff, Brad Ramsdale was wondering if you could give us how are things going for the politicians at the old Iowa State Fair?
Oh, if it's another day, it's another corn dog. What can I tell you? There have been some really interesting crowds. Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren seem to have drawn the biggest numbers of fans or supporters. Cory Booker, though, had a very nice turnout. Now, you have to keep in mind, Matt, some of this has to do with what day of the week. Obviously, you're going to have more people there generally on a Saturday or Sunday than a Thursday. But a lot of the friends of mine who are covering these day in and day out are measuring not just size of crowd, but also enthusiasm. And they commented about the fact that Harris had a pretty strong crowd. Sanders was very close to what he had in 2015. And then that was one of the barometers. Would he do as well as he did the first time when it was fresh and new? But there does seem to be a fair amount of enthusiasm, regardless of who the candidate happens to be. Lots of folks getting a very respectful hearing.
You know, this is not about a war between Iowa and Minnesota about whether you do this or
sure
not.
It's
but you
not.
Know, of course it is. You know, nice state fair. Hey, okay. Let me ask you your political opinion. All right, you are trailing Bernie Sanders, or you're say around 3%, 2%, something like that, right? You know Bernie's going to do well in Iowa because he resonates down there. Elizabeth Warren's doing well. Harris is going to do well. Okay, great. New Hampshire, that's a little bit of home territory for both Sanders and for Elizabeth Warren. So the question is, okay, I'll just go to South Carolina. I'll go to every peanut boil, every oyster poi boy. I'll go up and down the coast. I will get my Clemson jersey on out. I'll be there for a while. Go on out and just cover South Carolina top to bottom, back and forth, and put all the money in there. Because that just to me, if you're playing catch up, I mean, those first two states, okay, you finished sixth, you finished eighth. Well, there's very little for you going into South Carolina. And I would just say, wouldn't that be a much more, if you're especially trailing, wouldn't that be a much better strategy at this point?
There are a lot of people who have tried that strategy. We'll let you folks fight it out in snowy Iowa and snowy New Hampshire. I'll see you in South Carolina or Florida or wherever. And the problem is that especially now with the front loading, Super Tuesday, including California, half the delegates will be selected on Super Tuesday. And that's a month after the quartet of caucuses and primaries begins in Iowa. I don't know that you can wait it out. That was supposedly, by the way, what you suggested was supposedly going to be the Cory Booker and Kamala Harris strategies. They are both African Americans, and South Carolina's voting population would have been a little more friendly given the makeup of the population. Now, I say that even though Iowa is the one that propelled Barack Obama, we don't seem to have a problem here with it, but follow what I'm saying. The thought was, okay, if they focus on those states, on South Carolina, that will allow them to almost ignore Iowa and New Hampshire, and then they're fresh. See, that's what you have to do. If you don't want to finish sixth or eighth in Iowa.
No, you
want to say, I'm not even trying in Iowa, and then I'll just see in South Carolina. But a funny thing happened on the way to the strategy. Cory Booker recalled that he has relatives in Iowa, and so he's trying to play that up as he has relatives, great aunts, whatever. And so he's, in essence, connected. Mm-hmm. Harris has done, I don't want to say surprisingly well, but again, if the conventional wisdom was that she was going to ignore Iowa and New Hampshire, all of a sudden she is a force in Iowa in building a ground game. Not as good as Elizabeth Warren's, but still building a ground game. And so you've kind of got a situation where you can't wait to go somewhere else because the train's going to leave the station, and the conventional wisdom about who might do well is really out the door. I have to tell you, you look at the Iowa caucus goers. Don't forget, in 2016, 40% of those who showed up self-described as socialist. So it's a very different Democratic Party in Iowa than you might have thought. It's not your father's Democratic Party. Let's say that.
Well, and it's I think it's that should be, you know, that we can put that aside for a second, and also put aside Steve King as far as problems with minority groups in Iowa. We'll get to him in just a second.
Oh, sure.
But yeah. The real bankability is this, and this is you had better be sure you're going to finish first in South Carolina then. And that's it. And so if you're from South Carolina, if you're like, you're the Charleston, you know, rep, okay, fine. You're going to have a shoe in there. But, you know, if you are going to pass on New Hampshire and Iowa, you have to win South Carolina to have a chance at going into that Super Tuesday. That's really the path, correct?
Oh, I think so. I mean,
if you lose to, say, Bernie Sanders, say Bernie Sanders wins Iowa, he comes in second place in New Hampshire, but then wins South Carolina, and that's where you're all dead, okay, there's no wind in your sails at that point.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is, of these first four, if you don't win one of the first four, I don't know how you move forward, okay? It's going to be that quick an attrition rate. And I say four, but again, if you don't have a respectable showing in Iowa and then New Hampshire, it's tough to get the momentum in South Carolina. The only way, and this is what you were suggesting, let's say you are a top five, six candidate in Iowa and New Hampshire, but at that same time, you are polling a decent number one in South Carolina. Okay, you can play that. But this is going to be, you know, just one right after the other to the point that there is no time. This is one of the things that, again, in the old days, you had a week or two between Iowa and then New Hampshire, and there was time to breathe and let momentum build, et cetera. Now you're running a national campaign from day one, even though it starts in four places, but very quickly it becomes another 15. And so, yes, you have to. I mean, here's Joe Sestak, who might as well have changed his legal mailing address. Marianne Williamson really did move to Des Moines. From whatever planet. And so the concept, I'm sorry.
I was going to go realm personally, but, you know, your planet's fine too.
Planet will work. I mean, you know, this is the thing. So many of them are saying, I could be the Jimmy Carter of the 2020 cycle. Mm-hmm. And so they figure, you know, we were saying Sestak was in my county so much. We thought, you know, you'd kind of need to win more than one of the 99 counties, but okay, start somewhere. You know, I mean, they're just really pushing, hoping for lightning to strike. But let's face it, if you don't make the debate stage in September, where do you go?
Well, you don't. And I mean, we'll be down to, I'm going to guess, eight by the time we get to Iowa. We'll be down to eight. I mean, there's already some pretty legitimate calls for some of these guys to get out of this presidential race and get into state Senate races. And I think that as the numbers just don't get better, you know, the idea of traveling around the country for a lost cause is going to start kind of sinking in.
Oh, there's no question. And again, you can go along on a pretty low budget if you have the oxygen of the television cameras at a debate. Mm-hmm. And as I recall, and the number may have changed, but I think it's nine. I think only nine have qualified for the September debate. And the idea was that ABC would spread it over two nights, maximum of 10 per night. They may not need the second night. There may only be 10. Now, you can, if you're Bullock of Montana, you know, you could say, well, I got into the race late. I've got some momentum that's going to be building. Well, you can say that, but is that really going to resonate when America is watching a TV screen and they see 10 and you're not one of the 10? You're quickly going to be forgotten.
Speaking of politics and speaking of Iowa, the Steve King, Jesus. I get it. I get it. Things are not looking that good right now when you're looking at Republicans and polling. There's a lot of Republicans who are already announcing retirement. So going back to the abortion issue seems like safe territory. But his comment today was, and I'm going to read this from him, "What if we went back through all the family trees and just pulled out anyone who was a product of rape or incest?" King said, "There wouldn't be any population of the world left if we did that. Considering all the wars and all the rapes and pillages that happened throughout these different nations, I know that I can say I was not part of a product of that. Wow. You know, it's not many times you get a politician who's stepping up to defend incest. I know these guys want that extreme far-right people that kind of fantasize about biblical wars. They need those people. Those are what they look at as driving them, their victories at the polls. But the reality is this comment is going to, I mean, wow, this is getting out there, especially as we got polling numbers that say the most people want abortion in this country still stay legal.
He has three primary challengers. That should tell you something.
Yes.
He's a 9-term congressman, okay? There is already a Democrat who has announced, this was the Democrat, J.D. Scholten is his name. I had him on the radio earlier, I guess late last week. He just announced his candidacy for another run. King only beat him by 3 percentage points in the last election, and that was before a lot of these comments. So the Democrats are saying, we were very close to taking him out last time. Let's run the same guy, because if anything, he's stronger and King is weaker. Well, and as I posed the question to Mr. Scholten, how do you know it's going to be Steve King? Because he's got three people running against him. You know, what's your message going to be for change if the Republicans through the primary have already effected change, if you will? I don't know that he's going to lose a primary. And it's really hard for me to say these words because of what he has said and the fact that there are three people running against him. And that's the thing that may save him in a primary, is if the anti-King vote splits. Now, that all could coalesce as polling goes forward. It might just be King versus anti-King, whoever seems the strongest. That's possible. I am not in any way going to defend these remarks. Okay.
But let you don't have to. I know that. When you're like, this is crazy, King, too. You know, no, you don't have to. We all know that pretty much everyone, you know, this is disgusting.
But this is a question I have asked Republicans who are members of Congress, who are members of the state legislature. They talk about bills limiting abortion except in case of rape or incest. And my question to those Republicans is, if abortion is wrong, why are you allowing any conditions? It's just a question. I just don't understand the philosophical position. If it is wrong to have an abortion, it should be wrong to have an abortion, period. And their answer typically is, well, it's for political expediency, because we know we can't get that. Well, that's a rather hollow argument as far as I'm concerned.
Well, no, it's about you know, the abortion wasn't an issue until, you know, the 70s and Nixon, and the Republicans were frantically looking for an issue to basically latch onto. And I've actually pointed out to Republicans, if the Republicans were really interested in getting rid of abortion, they've twice had complete control of government and they could have introduced a constitutional amendment to do so. Number of constitutional amendments introduced by Republicans, zero. They haven't done one. So this is just a – they need to get the voters to the polls. The question I have for his district is, are they really that far right crazy that – I mean, forget about the Democrat for a second – that they're not going to say, okay, I do not want to be in a district where that's my representation. I'm going to find a different Republican.
Well, that's the point where and let me say one thing about, you know, when I say to someone, if you have this pure moral view, why don't you push for the pure moral view? And it's to your point. We have a situation in Iowa where you have Republican control of the House and the Senate and the governor's chair. And yes, they did try a piece of legislation to further limit abortions, and it was thrown out by the court. But at least they put their money where their mouth is. I don't understand. So what he was trying to say is that, you know, every life is precious. But when you have had the history he has had of saying the wrong thing, it's one thing to claim the New York Times misquoted you. I'm putting claim in air quotes. This is just you can't even say it's inartful.
Well, it's
not balanced. I mean, I can understand it if you would say, I don't believe in any exceptions. All right, that's a straight view. But this stuff about let's go through the family trees and incest through human – oh, for crying out sakes, it is so unnecessary, and it shows someone who has such a tin ear Now, that gets to your point about the voters. I really think if you were to hold the election today, if it was King versus one opponent on the Republican side, he loses, and he loses by 60-40.
Do you
but
think
if he's got three primary challengers, that's where it gets squishy, doesn't it?
Well, we'll have to see. I will say this. I'm going to boil down what he just said. Hey, you remember when your ancestors were raped or that incest happened in your family tree? Well, don't turn that frown upside down. You know, it's the lack of understanding of what the hell he's saying. And it's not that long ago. There are people in this country where they've come here because their countries were overrun by foreign troops, and there were rapes going on at that time. So this entire idea that, oh, well, this is just what happens. Jesus. I mean, there is tone deaf, and then there's Steve King.
It's, as I said, if you were taking a principled stand and explain it from a principled manner, that's one thing. These supposed justifications for the position do not make any sense at all. Yeah. Now, everybody's saying he should resign. Every Democrat candidate for president, all of the challengers, everybody's saying he should resign. I'm waiting for other people like the governor and the U.S. senators to weigh in, if they're going to weigh in at all. Senator Ernst has said that she is not going to endorse a candidate in the primary. Senator Grassley, King is his congressman. This is part of Grassley's farm is in King's district. What about the governor, who already kind of threw him under the bus after the campaign, after the election, when she got what she wanted and then threw him aside the week after? He's still not going to resign because here's the thing. They already took his committee assignments. They already took all of his duties. He's got nothing to do but think of crazy comments and come back and spread them. So he's not ever going to resign. And
there comes a point where he becomes the liability, and that's we got to stop on that because I got to get a break. Sure. And when I come on back, yep. I want to get into Trump and namely the comments about Clinton, plus the fact that this economy is in is actually in big trouble. We'll talk about that when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
The Audubon Centre of the Northwoods on Grindstone Lake west of Sandstone offers a great variety of environmental learning experiences for people of all ages running year-round. But did you know you can book your own event here at the centre? Check out our lakeside dining hall and the variety of lodging and meeting accommodations available. Visit us on the web at audubon-centre.org or call 320-245-ACNW. The Audubon Centre of the Northwoods.
As if there isn't enough to love about our great Minnesota State Fair, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is throwing their big Minnesota State Fair sale. You can get an air conditioner for just $2,400 when you buy a high-efficiency furnace. Restrictions apply. Go to standardheatingdeals.com to discover details and more about how you can start enjoying your brand new air conditioner for just $2,400 during Standard's State Fair sale. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
At Better Futures Minnesota, we transform the lives of men and support Minnesota's environment by working towards zero waste. Our approach reaffirms each man's dignity and supports self-sufficiency. Better Futures Minnesota is a work training model. Through our reuse, retail warehouse, and supervised work crews with specialized in residential and commercial building deconstruction, property maintenance, appliance recycling, and janitorial services, we demonstrate ways to employ hard-to-employ men on a pathway to independence. Hire our work crews at BetterFuturesMinnesota.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us right now, talking national presidential politics. Trump. When Obama says after the shootings in El Paso and Dayton that we need to have civility in this country, he never mentioned Trump by name, but his administration jumped all over Obama saying you don't criticize other presidents. And then he turns around as Epstein gets murdered or excuse me, suicide in jail. Oops, that was a slip. Anywho, because Epstein dies in jail, he starts floating a conspiracy theory that Clinton did it, and then when asked about it next to the chopper, doubles down saying there should be a full investigation. That is a level of hypocrisy, which is just, that is the current president, that's for sure.
Why do you act surprised?
I'm not. It's so amazing to watch people do such 180s in the middle of a day, in the middle of freaking sentences. I hate sandwiches, but by God, they're delicious. And they do it all the time. And I just am like, it is amazing. And then, and by the way, I think the more interesting part is the rest of the Republican Party. I mean, how is the rest of the Republican Party allowing him to push basically Pizzagate on Epstein? I mean, it just is. I mean, granted, this is what happened there. There's a lot of questions. But to all of a sudden say, oh, the former president could be involved. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty wild.
Well, okay, the sentence, and I would ask you to go back and check the transcript of your last sentence. Why haven't the Republicans made him ... Who controls him?
Yes.
No one, right? I mean, the fact that they are as silent as can be is the sound that's deafening in the whole thing. And again, we talked about this previously when we talked about however many, you know, a half dozen in 1 week Republican incumbents decide they're not going to run for re-election because they are going to have to answer a question in a debate from a Democrat that will go like this. Do you support the presidential candidate of your party? And if you say yes, you just walked into the quicksand. And so they don't want to have to defend the president.
Well,
they don't want to
even
have to
you do the support him. You do the generic question. I mean, you ask them, do you think that Bill Clinton killed Jeffrey Epstein? Yeah, like Donald Trump is pushing. I mean, that's even worse because, you know, oh, God, no, I have no idea where you – because then you really have to kind of go against the president at that point.
I think you wind up making some comment about it is ridiculous that a person who is in custody and is supposed to be watched ... You try to answer it without referring to the president in any way. And you wind up with this kind of condescending comment to your point where you say, well, I think we'll just let the facts speak for themselves. I'm not going to speculate and comment on what the president said. Well, you know, okay. I mean, I guess that allows you to save face with your constituents by not being on the crazy train too.
One last thing here before we get to the end of the show, and we'll have to move the economy a little later. But the speech he gave, where he's talking to the steelworkers, and he starts bad mouthing computer manufacturing jobs. You know, computer programmers get paid $62,000 a year. Steelworkers get paid $42,000 a year. As he's bad mouthing the computer jobs, saying you guys don't want those jobs. The crowd, you could see it in their face, like, where are those jobs? Those jobs here, those would be great. That was
We're
a weird
one of those.
Yeah, exactly. That was a weird speech, man. He was way off the teleprompter.
Well, and in so many ways, right? I mean, yeah. He was supposed to talk about energy, and then it's like, oh yeah, didn't even mention it in essence, and then jokes about how he doesn't need the prompter. Well, okay, let's just say that you can't tell him anything because he says what I have done got me where I am. Well, that's fine, but is it going to get you to stay there? And that's the telling point for 2020.
All you big-handed people, you don't want those good-paying jobs, do you? No, put me next to the melted metal. All right, Jeff Stein, once again, find his books, Common Good Books, totallyiowa.com. Also, Next Chapter Books, I should mention that, in St. Paul. And, Jeff, we'll talk to you in 3 weeks. Thank you very much, my friend.
Be well, sir. See ya.
Take care, and we will be back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.